蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
考古队发现了亚伯拉罕原本所住的加勒底乌尔的老房子，屋内的设备相当的先进。这是一幢由砖头所造成的房屋，里面还有中央暖气以及自来水。亚伯拉罕在他80岁高龄的时候离开了这个舒适的砖造房屋，下半辈子都住在了帐篷里面。我很好奇的就是，有多少个退休的基督徒愿意像亚伯拉罕这样做呢？这里是良友电台的双语节目蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today， 我是乐心，和我一起主持的是 Charles Morris。 希伯来书的11章说，亚伯拉罕因着信，他在应许之地寄居，好像是在异乡，与承受同样应许的以撒、雅各一样住在帐篷里，因为他等待那座有根基的城，这是神所设计所建造的。这一座有根基的城在哪里呢？启示录给了我们答案。在启示录的倒数2章里面，神启示约翰，让他看见了将来的新天新地，也让他看见了一座新城，新耶路撒冷。圣经是怎样描述新耶路撒冷呢？说它是从天上由神那里降下来的，他预备好了，好像是一个打扮整齐等候丈夫的新娘。也许你还记得，保罗在写给教会的信中就说到了，我曾经把你们，指的就是把教会许配给基督。这个正是基督徒目前和耶稣的关系。我们呢，是和耶稣定了亲，还没有成亲，只是定了亲。那么婚礼呢，要在最后才举行。而且就跟许多动人的爱情故事一样，圣经最后的结局也是从此两个人过上了幸福的生活。你可以想象得到吗？每一个基督徒，你还有我，我们现在都是耶稣基督的未婚妻。今天来到最后一集 Journey to the End of the World， 我们要来听 Karen 演绎启示录的最后2章内容。但是在那之前，我们不要忘了启示录的开始部分。
Chapter 1 of Revelation with Karen Heimbach and the London Symphony Orchestra.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the 7 churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you, from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen.
Revelation chapter 1, but there is more to come. Today, in these next few minutes, we finish Revelation. As Karen read from chapter 1, my reminder is what Scripture tells us. This is the only book in God's Word that promises you will be blessed by hearing this book. A friend of mine in Vancouver has been leading his church through Revelation for going on a year. I like what David Short says as they get close to ending the series on God's final book. He says, when we finish, we need to start again, and then again. We need to hear the message so we not forget. Thanks, David, for all your insights, helping your body of believers to understand this final book. We're used to symbols. God uses symbols to expand our hearts and faith, and Revelation is filled with symbols. God Himself will be in the new creation. The camera angle changes from Revelation as you reach chapters 21 and 22. It changes from biblical letters and prophecies. It is astonishingly complex, while beautiful and challenging. There are dragons and beasts, angels and demons, fire and plagues, thrones and martyrs, devastation, yet the tree of life. And we come to the very end, in the final two chapters. The camera angle turns away from God who stands before, after, and in the midst of all things. The final book turns at this point from looking at God and looks at us, to humans who through history have attempted to mask and domesticate evil. Chapter 21, verse 9. An angel comes to John and says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shines with the glory of God, and its brilliance is like that of a very precious jewel. There's a few things that I think we should take notice of. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is obviously speaking of Christ Jesus in Scripture. But the Lamb in the New Testament is also used for the church of Jesus Christ. The angel saying, "I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." This passage at the end of the book is talking about the New Jerusalem, the Jerusalem to come, the place where all God's people from all time will dwell. Even the dimensions are given, and it must be a new creation, for these dimensions could never fit in the current Jerusalem, where I have visited many times, and I hope you have been as well. This new place, where we who are saved will live forever, is with our God, and with His Son, and with the Spirit of the living God. It won't be an afternoon off. Don't think of it like earthly bliss on a two-week vacation to the beach or to the mountains. It is eternity with an ongoing love that we can't even begin to understand with our finite minds. If you think of heaven as the sweet by and by, you're missing the explosive power of what Scripture is trying to describe in chapters 21 and 22 at the end of the book. It's so important to understand, and so that's why Christ Jesus Himself is quoted and speaks to us today in the final words with a final invitation to come to Him, because He's coming soon. These are His words. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let the one who hears say, "Come." Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Jesus Himself says, "I am coming soon." And this final book ends with the benediction, "The grace of our Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." Take it in. Heaven is coming. Christ is returning. Soon. Listen now to Karen Heimbach and the London Symphony Orchestra, Revelation, chapters 21 and 22.
Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The angel who talked with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city was laid out like a square, as long as it was wide. He measured the city with a rod and found it to be 12,000 stadia in length. That is about 1,400 miles, and as wide and high as it is long. He measured its wall, and it was 144 cubits thick. That is about 200 feet by man's measurement, which the angel was using. The wall was made of jasper, and the city of pure gold, as pure as glass. The foundations of the city walls were decorated with every kind of precious stone. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls, of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of pure gold, like transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book." I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things. And when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you, and with your brothers, the prophets, and of all who keep the words of this book. Worship God." Then he told me, "Do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book, because the time is near. Let him who does wrong continue to do wrong. Let him who is vile continue to be vile. Let him who does right continue to do right. And let him who is holy continue to be holy. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him who hears say, "Come." Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.
May I ask you now, after hearing God's word, what is heaven? What we just heard was God's view of heaven, not ours. I'll tell you what it's not. It's not sitting around with nothing to do watching one of those robots vacuum your carpets. It's not a reincarnation lifting you higher on some social ladder. It's not you losing your individuality, since you will still be a person created in the image of God. It's not a utopia of your own choosing. It is the bride of Christ, the church, the Lamb, the same thing as the city of God, and yet the new Jerusalem. The bride of Christ and the city of God are pictures of the very same thing. Heaven is not us floating around in a spiritual body, part of an orchestra all playing harps with ghostly fingers. The resurrection body of the redeemed is physical, not just spiritual. The picture to us here is God's people as well as the place. Heaven and earth will come together forever. When John mentions the bride, he means the city. When he mentions the city, he means the bride. The bride picks up our eternal intimacy and communion with God, and the city picks up the fact that we are a redeemed community. not just washed and cleaned, but we are forgiven, and we reflect the glory of God. That's us in the future, in Christ. There's an avalanche of images, but there's one dominant image from the passage Karen just dramatically read. Did you hear it? It is the image of light, not just in us, but through us and to us. Luminosity, clarity, warmth. We even get a tour of this new eternal city to come, and one could even call it the city of life. The light in the new Jerusalem is the glory of God. The shining display of the love, majesty, holiness, glory of His grace. We will have the glory of God. It's like wearing clothing that is holy and only is given by the Lord. It's not just saying God shines on us. It's radiance in us, and we get to wear it. The word radiance means like the stars shining. The glory is inside us, and we shine with that glory. And just so we don't see this as the church, we have a description that comes regarding God's people in both the Old and New Testaments. The enemies have been defeated, and the city is built for the people of God. When God first created the earth, it was described as good, good, and very good. This is better. Beautiful. Eternity in Christ is not a tasteless, odorless void that someone writing Hallmark cards was asked to write. It's a city of light. That's why jewels and gold are an attempt to begin to describe what it will be like. You cannot, in this world that we live in today, refine gold and jewels so fine that you can see through them because of their translucence. This is spiritual reality described in human terms. A golden measuring rod is brought out, and we see the dimensions are a perfect cube. What was the other perfectly shaped cube in the Bible? It was the Holy of Holies, where God dwelt and His presence made known. Yet, in the new heavens and the new earth, in the new Jerusalem, we will live in the glory of God in the midst of His holiness.
启示录说，这座城将来是从天上降到地上，它是用最珍贵的材料建造而成的。城墙用的是碧玉，城呢是用明镜像玻璃的纯金做的。城墙的根基是用各样的宝石所装饰的。现在的科学就发现了，宝石可以分成两种，而这个是在我们能够制造出纯光之后才发现的。那么，什么是纯光呢？纯光指的就是像镭射激光之类的。假设我们把一个宝石切成一个薄片，用纯光照射之后呢，就会出现两种不同的情况。一种情况是在照射之后，这个薄片就变成了七彩的，有七种颜色。不管原本这个宝石是红色、绿色还是蓝色，在纯光的照射之下，它可以变成七彩的样子。而另外一种宝石，它在纯光的照射之后，却是变成了黑色，是完全的失去了其他的颜色。我们会把变成七彩的宝石称之为非等相性宝石，而把那些失去颜色的宝石称作等相性的宝石。在我们所熟悉的这些宝石当中，钻石就是女孩子非常喜欢的钻石，它可是等相性的。红宝石也是等相性的，但是约翰他在新耶路撒冷城中所见到的那十二种宝石全部都是非等相性，也就是说，这十二种的宝石，新耶路撒冷的建材，它们全部都可以变成彩虹的颜色。约翰当年绝对不可能知道这些事情，他不知道什么样的宝石在纯光之下会变成七彩，他也不知道什么样的宝石在纯光之下会失去颜色。所以，除非是宝石的创造主 启示给了耶稣，而耶稣启示给了圣灵，圣灵再启示给天使，天使再启示给约翰，这样子约翰才知道。所以从这个角度来说呢，就可以证明出来圣经是神的话语，因为在2000多年前只有上帝能够知道这一点。
If you are suffering, or you're under great pressure, or you have an inkling of great suffering to come, these final two chapters are of great comfort. You are under God's perfectly detailed love and care. He's watching over you. He cares for you. He loves you. In heaven to come, we will see His glory in the face of Jesus, we're told. No more need for an earthly temple. We will live together in this new Holy of Holies, seeing Him as He is with new eyes. No need for sun or moon to shine on us. And that doesn't mean there won't be a sun or moon, but we will no longer need that light to see any longer. The light of God is all we need. There is the river of life flowing from God's throne. The healing of the nations will come to pass. The tree of life in the Garden of Eden will be replaced by a new tree of life. John uses a different word for tree as Revelation draws to a close. It is the same word used for the cross, pointing us to Jesus dying for us on the cross that saves us from our sins. It is the eternal tree of life we are given by Christ's death. The wood of this tree is a forest of trees made from the wood of the cross. The word hallelujah appears only 4 times in the New Testament, and all 4 times in Revelation. If you are a child of God, there is room for you in this coming city of light. And if you don't know Christ, you can see His face in this new city, and there is room for you as well. If only you bow before Him and His cross and call on the name of Jesus Christ, and you will be saved today. John Rutter and his version of Handel's Messiah and the Hallelujah Chorus on this Haven Today and Journey to the End of the World.
韩德尔的弥赛亚神曲，这一段哈利路亚大合唱是取自于启示录的19章。其实这一段经文是在庆祝全球的经济崩溃，庆祝银行体系瓦解。这个情况呢是一定会发生的，所以到了那个时候，很多人都会捶胸顿足，非常的难过伤心，但是只有基督徒会大喊哈利路亚，所以到时候谁是基督徒就会一目了然了。我们花了1个多月的时间一起来学习启示录，也非常谢谢 Karen 的演绎。如果你很喜欢读启示录，或者呢是在听完节目之后对启示录有了新的一番认识的话呢，都欢迎你透过短信1322-9966-122来和乐心还有 Charles 说说看的。记得在短信的开头加上蓝天。那么在下期的同一时间，我们就会开始一个全新的系列。愿神祝福你，下期时间与你不见不散。拜拜。